Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve and it's Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings. Thank goodness the international break is over. Domestic action returns. Mark will be giving his verdict on all the Premier League games. We'll also be joined by Dan Childs for his lowdown on the EFL. Mark, how are you?
I'm all right. That feels like a while since we last spoke. These international breaks don't get any shorter, do they? But it is the last one now until March. So we've got a hectic club period coming up. I mean, I kind of embrace these breaks. It sort of enables me to do a few administrative tasks, both in work and also around the house. I've changed enough light bulbs in the last 2 weeks to get me through the winter, I think.
In terms of light bulbs, then, does it sort of doom into darkness then towards the international breaks, and you know it's coming round when,
exactly.
When you sort of sat there in candlelight?
Exactly. It's not far short of that. Can go and do a couple of other I wouldn't be very good in the DIY department, but you know the jobs I can do. I saved up for the international weekends. Even went Christmas shopping. I thought I'd do a strategic
dash. Early.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of football going on at the weekends between now and Christmas. So let's get it out of the way.
Goodness me, great stuff. I mean, changing light bulbs was probably more of an exciting task than watching England. It wasn't the most successful of breaks for them. I mean, you know, against Malta and North Macedonia, do these games matter? Are you reading much into them?
They really don't. No, they absolutely don't matter. Qualification was almost done the moment England won that game away to Italy very early on. They beat Italy home and away. They got good results against Ukraine as well. Yeah, so it just doesn't matter. And of course, people need to try to make them matter because whether it's a podcast, newspaper, radio show, 24-hour rolling news, like what else are you going to talk about during the international break? But, you know, beating Malta 2-0, it wasn't a great performance. I mean, far from it. But what do you, like, if I'm a player, are you really going to be going all out at that point with all of the sort of, you know, the big matches you've got coming up for the club? And let's not forget, you know, the Euros is at the end of the season. I think you need to be strategic about that. So I can't get on the kind of England bashing bandwagon for what happened in those two games. You look around, I mean, like Gavi's done his ACL. Vinicius is out for 10 weeks during this international break. You know, a brutal time, really, for players. They are well compensated for that. But just because you get extra money doesn't mean that your body can hold up any differently. So, you know, I don't blame any of those England players for taking their foot off the gas. I mean, there are still some concerns, but we already knew that. Who's the backup for Kane? I don't think that's really been decided. Ollie Watkins against North Macedonia was given an opportunity. It doesn't mean he can't be that backup. You can't judge someone on 60 minutes, but he didn't, I suppose, stake a claim in that kind of cliche way that you're supposed to at international level. We don't know if Alexander-Arnold is the solution in midfield because, you're just not playing against those sort of teams when it comes to the Euros. And, you know, I would like to see Henderson sort of shifted. We know what Southgate is going to do there. I mean, he's very loyal and he'll stick by Henderson.
There will still be question marks, however, Mark, around Gareth Southgate. I mean, where do you sit on that? I know we've asked this before, but has your opinion changed on him somewhat?
No, he's somebody that, you know, if he was to go into the Premier League world, like what sort of job would he get? It wouldn't be a very sort of top one. He'd probably be bottom half of the Premier League. It would be his next step, maybe even sort of top of the an ambitious championship team. So, that is international football, really. I mean, you've got someone like Julian Nagelsmann that sort of dropped down, if you like, into international football for host Germany at the Euros. But it's not a job that most top young sort of coaches want because you just don't get enough time to build patterns of play. And, you know, Stephen Kenny's just been given the boot as Ireland manager. He can have no complaints, but I think what he was trying to do there was almost impossible because the players aren't very good with Ireland anyway. But nobody really plays in that progressive sort of style anyway, really, international football. You defend well and you hope that your attackers can kind of make the difference. So, you know, just calm down and wait. The Euros is completely different to qualifying. It's like, you know, it's just not even comparable to, you know, to what they're going to face in the summer. And the draw for the playoffs, Jack, is ongoing as we speak. We already knew Path C, Georgia v Luxembourg, Greece v Kazakhstan. Greece are going to fancy their chances of, you know, not only beating Kazakhstan, but then also beating Georgia or Luxembourg. Wales, we don't know yet, but I'll give it to you. We're breaking news as we probably discuss Everton next. I'll kind of interject when we know what Wales have got and sort of see if I can do a live update for you.
Yeah, great stuff. I was hoping you were going to say that draw's been done. Obviously, Wales will need to get through a playoff to get to Euro 2024. Let's talk about the other breaking news then that happened over the last week, and that's regarding Everton. They will receive a 10-point deduction in the Premier League. It puts them into the relegation zone. Accounts showed that they'd suffered losses of £371 million over the previous 3 years. The Premier League allows clubs a maximum loss of £105 million. Over that period, it puts them 19th in the table. I mean, Mark, if you know, I was sat here thinking earlier on today, if I was an Everton fan, I think I'd be absolutely fuming. Granted, it, you know, they've broken rules, and they will have their own say on the, you know, the fairness of how that's been implemented. But when you look at the likes of Manchester City and the likes of Chelsea, it feels like a slightly harsh.
Different cases, Jack. And, you know, let's wait and see what punishment Man City and Chelsea get. You know, I think Everton need to be treated on their own, slightly different sort of case.
When you say different cases, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, obviously Man City are facing over 100 different charges, and the sort of Chelsea incident sort of that was brought to the attention of kind of the authorities came from the new owners when they kind of reported money sort of going here, there and everywhere that they kind of didn't sort of understand why it was going to certain places. Everton have been poorly run for a very long time. Now, COVID got in the way. It got in the way for all teams. The kind of COVID, I suppose, compensation that they put on was like stupidly high compared to the rest of the Premier League, and they still failed the sort of the Premier League's version of FFP. They still failed it. They'd agreed, you know, all the clubs agreed that they were going to stick by these rules. So you can look at Everton's situation from their fans' point of view and say it is unfair, and you know, 10 points is in Premier League terms unprecedented. We've seen in the EFL teams get very serious punishment. You could also look at it from the teams that maybe Everton stayed up instead of. Like, you know, had they broken the rules, maybe that would have been the difference between them signing a striker maybe that was able to score the goals, or, you know, a goal that sort of would have flipped that sort of position. So I don't know if 10 points is the right outcome. It's really difficult to work out what the punishment should be. I always think it should be a points deduction. I don't think a fine works. I mean, you know, like that's what the, you know, what would the clubs rather have? They'd rather have the fine, wouldn't they, in the Premier League? So, you know, you want to make it a serious deterrent. If you've got these rules in place, you have to stick by them or not, essentially. And, you know, I do feel sorry for Everton because they've been poorly run for a long time. They were the ones, their fans were the ones that were bringing up how poorly they were being run. And now they're the ones that are kicking off, which is understandable. It's what fans do at all levels, isn't it? I do think, though, that in Sean Dyche, I wasn't that mad on his appointment, but I think he's done a really good job, actually. He kind of gets Everton, I think. You know, Everton have tried to be a lot of things under previous managers, and have jumped around, and they've gone for fashionable younger managers at the time, Silva, Martinez, they've gone for big names, Ancelotti, Benitez, Koeman. And like Dyche just feels more like Joe Royal or David Moyes. He sort of just feels like, you know, he kind of gets what Everton fans want to sort of their team to be, which is aggressive. I mean, to get, they don't mind getting the ball forward quite quickly and playing up to Calvert-Lewin. In other seasons, under other managers, the 10 points would have meant relegation. Because of how weak the Premier League is at the bottom this season, and because of Dyche, I think Everton will stay up, and they'll probably use this as kind of motivation for them to inspire, to inspire their sort of push to survival again. And we have got those that playoff draw. I've filled for long enough, Jack. We've got the playoff draw. So path B is Bosnia against Ukraine. And Israel against Iceland. So two one-legged semi-finals there, a final, one of those teams gets through. That means that Wales have got Finland in the semi-finals. Your man, Teemu Pukki, still scoring goals for Finland. Wales are at home, I think they'll be satisfied with that. You wanted to avoid Ukraine of the three teams they could have got. So probably a good draw for Wales. And the other breaking news is that if they beat Finland in that semi-final, they're at home in the final as well against Poland or Estonia. So probably Poland. I mean, that makes a massive difference to Wales's hopes. You know, if they've got Finland and Poland at home to qualify for the Euros, I think that is a situation they probably, you know, would have taken this morning. That's for sure. So a good opportunity for Wales. He blew it last week in Armenia when they had qualification in their own hands, have been given, you know, a fair chance of qualifying for the Euros.
Yeah, probably best case scenario for Wales there then. Great stuff, Mark. Let's move on to the Premier League and our big match. Yeah, we'll start then with Manchester City against Liverpool. This one, the early kickoff on Saturday. Manchester City, the home side, 7-10, 16-5, the draw, 10-3. Liverpool. Mark, I'm excited for this one. Typically a game that features plenty of goals.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I'm really expecting, a great game from two teams that, you know, I think they'll probably finish sort of first and second in the Premier League this season, probably City on top. So, you know, the best game you could possibly get, when we're talking about, coming back from the international break, really excited by the prospect of two teams that play, you know, fantastic football, both like to be on the front foot. And yeah, this is a game that usually produces loads of goals, and I don't see any reason why this will be any different. There is a doubt, isn't there, about Erling Haaland. We'll have to wait and see. I won't age it by giving my prediction on whether he'll start or not. But I wouldn't read too much into the fact he pulled out of a game that didn't matter for Norway against Scotland, that's for sure.
It's funny, isn't it, Mark? I mean, we've been doing this podcast long enough now to kind of see the patterns that happen over time. And so often last season, particularly at the first half of the Premier League season, we were talking about Manchester City. We were saying, you know, are they going to find that extra gear? And it feels like it again this season with Pep. He's sort of tinkering and he's trying to find his best formula. And you expect it to come. But I mean, The last game against Chelsea, the 4-4, was just so chaotic. I mean, it was unlike City, I think. We've become used to them being almost robotic and so good.
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, they were, you know, going forward, as good as ever. And Pep Guardiola, after the game, was talking about what a great match it had been. I think he would have been concerned with how many chances they gave up, how many times Chelsea, you know, carved them open and scored four goals against them. So that's not what you expect of Pep Guardiola. Normally, his teams, as you say, are robotic. They are very controlled in the way that they sort of use possession to dominate matches and to defend, essentially. You know, that's one of the reasons Guardiola says he plays the way that he does. It's not because he always thinks it's the best way to score goals. He always also thinks it's the best way to defend. Definitely miss John Stones. When John Stones doesn't play, they haven't got another defender that can do kind of those both roles, sort of being the centre back and the defensive midfielder. So he hasn't been fully fit, has he, for much of this season. I think they've missed him when he hasn't been available. So that you expect them to get better once Stones and De Bruyne are kind of back, and because De Bruyne is going to add a lot to them going forward, but also in terms of controlling midfield, and Stones as well, just gives them that balance, you know, really nice balance to the side. And that they've missed that. And I don't think they've been at their best this season, sort of on a consistent basis. Yet you look at the league table, and that's the concern for everybody else, isn't it? That there's probably more gears for them to go through, and they're still top.
Absolutely. I mean, just in terms of Liverpool, Mark, before we get on to your best bet, I've been impressed with them this season. You know, that I think we both said at the start of the season that we were expecting good things from them, but they've been consistent. They've looked good. Klopp will be happy with what he's seeing.
Yeah, totally agree. Defensively, not maybe as shaky as they have been in previous sort of campaigns, the last couple. I think they don't look as vulnerable because the midfield is better. The midfield is where everything kind of works for Liverpool. If you press well, you know, you can defend higher up the pitch. And if you don't press well, you can't. And they're pressing better, you know, better legs in that midfield. And then going forward, so many goal threats. Obviously, Salah, Nunez, who we talk about a lot. You got Jota, you got Gakpo, Luis Diaz as well. You know, they've got five players there that can do damage. And Szoboszlai scored an absolute wonder goal for Hungary in sort of the European Championship qualifiers. So you got McAllister in the midfield as well. Van Dijk, I'm not saying it's untrue, but I haven't sort of necessarily seen it. But the people that watch Liverpool all the time tell me that Van Dijk is playing sort of much more like the Van Dijk before he got the injury than maybe was last season as well. They've got a great goalkeeper in Alisson. I think that they are looking like the team that will sort of throw down the biggest challenge to Manchester City. Even if they lose this game at the Etihad, worst case scenario, they're 4 points behind City, and they've had a lot of hard away matches already. You know, they will have been to City, they've been to Chelsea, they went to Brighton, they've been to Spurs as well, haven't they? So, yeah, there's probably others in there as well. They've had a tough run of fixtures. So I think Klopp won't sort of be saying about this, sort of, you know, going into it, but I think we can, as neutrals, worst case scenario, 4 points off City with kind of a kind of fixture scheduled to come. That's not a bad place to be.
Absolutely not. I mean, really excited for this being the early kickoff on the Saturday. Mark, what's your best bet for it?
Yeah, both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. A bet that has collected in 6 of the last 7 meetings between the two competitive ones. I'm discounting the Community Shield, which also landed, but I don't think we should count that one. Yeah, I mean, you just look at the two teams. Liverpool are not going to defend and be shy. And you know, that means that they can cause City some harm, but they will leave themselves vulnerable to all of City's attacking talents as well. So can't wait for this one.
Yeah, really excited. Let's get on to the rest of the Premier League games. Right, then let's start with the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. Then we'll start with Burnley against West Ham. 12-5 Burnley, 5-2 the draw, 21-20 West Ham. Mark, do you think the mentality has shifted in the, you know, the dressing rooms of Burnley, Luton and Sheffield United after this Everton news? I mean, if you're looking at the prices, you'd still expect Everton to kind of remain in the Premier League. But there's a chance now for these teams.
There's a better chance, yeah. It should perk them up. It does drag another team sort of back down towards the bottom. I think it will. And the news that sort of Jarrod Bowen is a big doubt for this game, I think only should encourage Burnley further. Look, Burnley have had a shocking start to the season. I expected more, you know, before a ball was kicked. Quickly realised that they weren't as good as what I thought they were, and I've kind of been downgrading them ever since. But I think this is an opportunity for them to get something out of this game. No Bowen would make me, you know, we obviously don't know if he's going to play or not at the moment. So It's either no bet or Burnley or draw, double chance. But if there's no Bowen, then I think I'd be looking to oppose West Ham.
I was looking through the kind of injuries the other day, Matt. There's a lot of people and a lot of decent players that are still, you know, we're unsure about the availability for this weekend, aren't there? Okay, let's move on to the next game. Then Luton against Crystal Palace, 13-5 Luton, 23-10 the draw, 11-10 about Palace. Again, Mark, similar, you know, lead into this one with Luton, a team that will feel that there's opportunity for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few games here, sort of Bournemouth we'll get to later on, where, you know, Crystal Palace just fall in the same boat. They don't win that often. They're away from home and they're kind of short enough price favourite. So I'm going to go for Luton or draw a double chance in this one. If you look at Palace, I mean, they've only got two wins in their last nine. So now, obviously, if they played Luton every week, that record would be better. So you have to understand that. But I just don't think that winning mentality is there. And that is a concern, I think, when you're looking to bet at sort of, like I say, relatively short prices. If you look at Luton, six of their last seven losses have been by one goal. So they're well in games. It's just that, you know, the finer details are just going either side of, you know, whether they're just not defending quite well enough. And it's only really been that Aston Villa game where they let themselves down. They've drawn recently with Liverpool and Nottingham Forest. So, you know, why can't they get something against Crystal Palace?
Okay, excited for that. And Newcastle against Chelsea up next, 31-20 Newcastle, 5-2 the draw, 13-8 Chelsea. Chelsea starting to get into a stride, Mark. You called it. I mean, the start of the season was so poor. You said that they were outperforming their kind of the results that we were seeing, and we're starting to see that now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the luck maybe that they didn't have earlier on, starting to get in parts. Other times it's just better finishing. But yeah, I mean, if you create the volume of chances that they were creating, eventually it doesn't matter how sort of, you know, how average your strikers are, the goals will start to go in. They've had a few penalties in big games as well, which always helps. You know, against Arsenal, Spurs, and City, haven't they? So, I mean, you know, that does help if you can win the penalties. But I think all of them were penalties. So, you know, if you get the ball in the box often enough and sort of create that carnage, then you're more likely to get spot kicks. But I thought for this game, both teams to score was the best bet. Round about sort of 4-6, I think it is. You know, Newcastle have only failed to score once at home this season, and Chelsea have scored 18 goals in their last six games.
Wow, that'll do it. Let's take a look at the next one then. Nottingham Forest against Brighton, 11-5 the home side, 13-5 the draw, 23-20 Brighton. I think if we would have said that Brighton going to Forest would be 23-20 this time last season, Mark, we would have probably snapped your hand off. Slightly different for them this time round.
Slightly different, but I might not snap your hand off. I'm still going to take the price, though. They've had a free week in as much as, obviously, no Europa for them. I know everybody's in the same boat with players coming back from internationals. But I watched a game when they played Everton and they drew 1-1 when they had that kind of a free midweek. And they definitely deserved at least a point in that game. Lewis Dunk maybe could have, you know, his goal was ruled out for the most marginal of offsides. They had about 80% possession. They've had a lot of draws. In the last eight games, they've had five draws, Brighton. They've only had one defeat. That was to Manchester City. So I don't think they're far away from getting back to the levels of last season. So I'm going to back them against the Nottingham Forest side. And this is more breaking news, Jack, because I still had the BBC blog up from the live Wales draw, and Forrester without Awoniyi for several months. He's got to have surgery, and that's a big old blow for them, because, you know, he's their most likely source of gold. So might only take one for Brighton to win this game.
Oh, okay, yeah, that will. We might see the prices change after the bookings clock on with that. Sheffield United against Bournemouth. Lots of gritty games in the Premier League this week. 11-5 Sheffield United, 5-2 the draw, 6-5 Bournemouth. I'm calling them gritty. Are you calling them hard to call, Mark?
Yeah, they are hard to call. I mean, you look at those 3 o'clock games: Burnley, West Ham, Luton, Palace, Forest, Brighton, Sheffield United, Bournemouth. I mean, Newcastle v Chelsea must be wondering what on earth they're doing playing with that lot. I can't believe that Newcastle game is not on TV. But of course, a big game for both Sheffield United and Bournemouth, as you mentioned, kind of the boost that sort of Burnley will have got from Everton's point deduction. Exactly the same sort of feeling for these two teams. I mean, I sort of was a champion of Bournemouth earlier on in the season. They've just started to win games now, and got a big one against Newcastle, very well deserved as well, before the international break. I just don't know if I want to back them at a shade of odds against in a Premier League game, albeit against Sheffield United away from home. Sheffield United beat Wolves, let's not forget, in their last home game as well. Got the point against Brighton. They've gone back to being competitive. They had that sort of spell, didn't they? Obviously, Newcastle and Arsenal games that were absolute blowouts. But if you go back to, they played okay against Man City, very well, I thought, against Manchester United, where they were unlucky to lose that game. Only lost very late on away to Tottenham as well. So maybe they're getting a bit of confidence back. And yeah, it's just whether you want to back Bournemouth at those prices, I don't really.
Yeah, probably better bets to be had in the Premier League this weekend, isn't there? 5:30, Brentford taking on Arsenal. 7-2 Brentford, 11-4 the draw, 3-4 about Arsenal. What have you made of Arsenal's campaign so far, Mark?
Yeah, hard to sort of tone of your question there suggested, Jack, that you were kind of struggling to weigh them up, and
I'm always struggling, but that's why I ask you everything, Mark. I didn't have a pick on things.
But I think you're right to kind of ask it in that tone, because obviously the results have been fine, and they're very much on the coattails of Man City. Could be looking at potentially going top of the table this weekend, and they've certainly got an, if you have a look at sort of the other top five, they're all playing each other, and Arsenal have got this game against Brentford, so good opportunity for them. Just some of their performances. They're not playing with the same sparkle, I don't think, as what they were at times last season. I think they do want to be more of a controlled team. That feels like very much like what Arteta is looking for. Declan Rice is not playing as that defensive midfielder like I was. So I think most people assumed that he would. They've got Jorginho in there as well. So they are trying to be, I suppose, more defensive minded in some respects, and then rely on Martinelli and Saka and the quality players they've got in that final third to win them games without needing to score four and five. So I mean, there's probably some sense in what they're trying to do. And actually, I thought at the prices that they were a fair enough bet to win this game. Obviously, had a few issues recently on the road, lost at West Ham in the League Cup. Drew at Chelsea, lost controversial circumstances at Newcastle, but the League Cup game, don't read too much into, was a makeshift side. Drew at Chelsea, I think that could be a good point come the end of the season. Lost 1-0 at Newcastle, it can happen. Newcastle are very strong at home, and they're just one of them games again. Maybe another referee rules out that goal for any of the three incidents that we saw. So I think they're not the easiest team to weigh up, Arsenal, but I definitely don't want to sort of be too negative about them. They've won at Palace, they've won at Everton, they've won at Bournemouth, they won at Sevilla, they won at Brentford in the League Cup as well. One thing to point out here is that David Raya can't play against his parent club. Got to remember that he's on loan from Brentford at the moment, rather than a permanent transfer. Ramsdale will come back in. Interesting to see how he gets on. But yeah, I just thought Arsenal, shade of odds on, fair enough.
It might be a good thing for Arteta that his hand has been forced somewhat on the goalkeeper situation.
Yeah. So he's kind of created it for himself, hasn't he? This problem. He might not see it as a problem. I think he just thinks David Raya is better. And if he does, then he's probably right to pick him.
Absolutely. From Arsenal to Spurs, let's take a look at the Sunday games. Two games on Sunday, 2 o'clock, we'll start with Tottenham against Aston Villa, 13-10 Spurs, 14-5 the draw, 9-5 Villa. A difficult few weeks, Mark, for Spurs after a fantastic start.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously tipped Wolves to beat them. I mean, the goals came late, but at least...
Never in doubt.
In terms of the players that have got out, it's still Romero, it's still Van de Ven, it's still Maddison. Bissouma has joined them now because he is suspended. So some big blows in there. Udogie's back. I think that is a positive. He really helps them sort of tick both in attack and defence as well. So but they were only minutes away from beating Wolves with all of those players out. And Molineux's not an easy place for teams to go this season. I mean, Aston Villa found that out themselves when they drew there a few weeks ago. And to me now, it's not kind of missed in the market. All of these players being out is influencing the prices, rightly, but to the point where I don't feel like Aston Villa are huge value to win this game. There's quite a difference really between Villa at home and away. Disappointing, weren't they, Nottingham Forest in their last road game? And so in a difficult game, I'm going to go for Kulusevski to score the first goal at 12-1. He did that against Chelsea in Spurs' last home game. He's got 3 goals this season, so outside of Son, could be argued is the biggest threat in that Tottenham team. He's also had quite a nice volume of shots, 22 so far. Yeah, so double figures about somebody that, does play in that Spurs front three. Appeal to me.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. The other game on the Sunday, Everton against Manchester United. Crazily, Mark, United, the form team in the Premier League at the moment. If we're looking at a small sample size, I suspect Everton, that there's tougher games for them to have than a home game against Manchester United to bounce back after their bad news. How do you see this one playing out?
Oh, Goodison's going to be a cesspit. It's going to be really difficult for Manchester United. Volume's going to be turned up. I think the players will thrive off that. But if we look at the odds, I mean, basically saying that there's not much in it between Everton and Manchester United, which, I mean, that tells you that the United are not as good as the results suggest. I thought the draw was the way to go. Everton have only won 2 home games this season. That was against Bournemouth and Burnley. Manchester United are better than both of those two. United have won 4 of their last 5 in the Premier League, isn't it? So, I mean, it's a tough game to call. I sort of wouldn't be surprised if Everton won, but I wanted a bigger price, really, than what's on offer. So that's why I've gone for the draw.
Yeah, some really difficult games to call this week, looking at the prices. Monday Night Football, we can look forward to Fulham against Wolves. Mark, I mean, Wolves have been I wouldn't say a surprise package, but I've been impressed by them.
Yeah, I've been surprised. I'll put them. I mean, that may be my fault for underestimating them before the season started. And I think, was it the first game, wasn't it, against Manchester United? You're like, hold on, they're better than they sort of appeared to be. They've had some bad times as well. The Sheffield United game was one that you'd think that they would win. They went to Luton, didn't beat them either. So did have a player sent off, but they weren't playing very well in that game even before the red card. So I'd say inconsistent Wolves, but when they're good, and the way they took the 2 goals that beat Spurs were fantastic finishes, both of them really good football. I think I'm going to take a chance on them to just win the game. Bigger than 2-1, I think, in places. Fulham, 4 defeats in 6. I say the same thing about Fulham every single week. Just don't see them being a big goal threat. And that offers Wolves an opportunity, I think, to win the game.
Yeah, can't grumble about that. That's the Premier League card marked off for you. Let's take a look at the EFL with Dan Childs. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Yeah, we welcome Dan Childs to the show. Always great to have Dan. For long-term viewers of Bet Club, they will know that we always have a team in focus in the EFL. See it as a team to add to the tracker, for good or for bad. Dan, who are we looking at this week?
Yeah, going to take a look at Blackpool. I mean, obviously, last weekend there was not a lot of EFL action. There was only, I think, two League One games. One of them actually was Blackpool. Blackpool at home to Shrewsbury won the game 4-0. I mean, a game you'd probably expect them to win anyway, but by all accounts, was one of their best performances of the season. And they're sort of a little bit like sort of Southampton and Leeds in the Championship, a relegated team. Southampton Leeds started slowly and then started to get it together. I mean, Blackpool have taken a little bit longer, but I do think they're up to eighth now in League One. There's only goal difference separating them from the playoffs, and I think they're going to sort of have a better part of the season as they go on. You look at what they've recruited up front. I mean, last season they lost Jerry Yates, who went to Swansea, was their top scorer. Jordan Rhodes came in, he's got 10 goals. A player they got from Swansea in the summer, Kyle Joseph, I think he could do really, really well in League One. Got 12 goals for Wigan on loan there previously. He's been out injured for most of the season, just come into the side, come off the bench in the game against Shrewsbury, scored a really good goal. So you're going to have him and Rhodes going forward, scoring a lot of goals. I think they may, you know, get enough to push Blackpool at least into the top six.
Look at Championship strikers that you almost guaranteed a return from. I mean, Jordan Rhodes must be at the top of that list. His longevity across the EFL has been remarkable.
Still doing it, and not someone that really relied on his pace. He's more intelligent movement and a great finisher. So even though he's well into his 30s now, I think at League One level, I can see him, you know, carrying on scoring bundles of goals. I think he'll have a big impact on their season.
Yeah, superb player. One to a team to look out for, Blackpool, for the rest of this season. Dan, let's get into your selections then for this weekend. How many have we got?
Yeah, we've got three, just one from each of the EFL divisions.
We'll start at the top in the Championship. Who is it?
Yeah, going to go with Southampton away to Huddersfield. I mean, they're 8-11. I think that's a reasonable price. I know everybody says every game in the Championship can go either way, but for me at the moment, I mean, I was saying a lot of negative stuff about Southampton a couple of months ago, and Russell Martin was, you know, we felt he was on the verge of losing his job. He was committed to this, you know, he's very much a possession-based style of play. It wasn't delivering results. Teams were sort of pressing high and feeding off the mistakes, but the balance, he's getting the balance right now. They seem to have settled down. 8 games unbeaten. I think that run started with that 3-1 win at home to Leeds, which really kick-started their season. They're playing some really good stuff now, got attractive, effective football, and they're against the Huddersfield side. Since the Darren Moore came in, replaced Neil Warnock, who sort of did a decent job start of the season, and it's not really gone very well so far for Darren Moore. 1-9, that was a 2-1 win at home to QPR for Huddersfield. So Huddersfield, I look at them up front, I'm struggling to kind of see where the goals are coming from. Danny Ward's been out injured for a lot of for most of the season. I can see him having there's three poor teams underneath them. So, you know, they may just have enough to stay up, but I don't think it's going to be easy. And I think against a team like Southampton, I can see Southampton having too much. So Southampton to win this one.
Do you think Southampton and Leeds have a chance of catching Ipswich? I mean, even Leicester. I mean, we thought that they were kind of home and dry, but a few kind of sticky results, it kind of opens up that top two somewhat.
Yeah, I mentioned a while back that it was probably too early to see it as a done deal, partly because of the strength of those two teams you've mentioned, Leeds and Southampton, always going to get better as the season goes on. I mean, it's an 8-point gap at the moment. You know, they've got two clubs to chase, still fairly early in the season as well. You think back to last season, Middlesbrough had a very big gap to make up on Sheffield United at one point, and that was quite a way into the season. And then when they went up and won it looked like they were going to actually close the gap and overtake them. So, no, I think there's plenty of time for them to one of them to get in there, definitely.
Ipswich Town, watch over your shoulders. So we've got Southampton in the Championship. Let's drop into League One, Dan.
Yeah, going to go with Charlton away to Carlisle. Charlton in sort of sitting in 7-5 to win this one, sitting in mid-table 11th. But they're only 5 points outside the playoffs. That'll be their target to get into that top six. Started the season slowly under Dean Holden. Dean Holden lost his job. They brought in Michael Appleton, who's got a good record in the division. Nearly took Lincoln up a couple of seasons ago. And they have improved under Appleton. I mean, they've had 2 losses in 14 games in all competitions, Charlton, which, considering, you know, the poor start they had, that is a serious turnaround. And they're up against it's never an easy trip going to Carlisle, long old journey. But I don't think Carlisle, after going up, won the playoff final, beat Stockport, didn't they, in the playoff final last season in League Two. They're finding it hard, really, to you know, to stay, to consolidate in League One. I do like the manager. I think Paul Simpson's a really, really good manager for Carlisle, and he gets the best out of his players, but he's dealing with a lot of injuries at the moment. Callum Guy, key midfielder, was the latest. He's got a long-term injury, got injured earlier this month. I think they're going to have to probably do some business in, be clever in January, Carlisle, to have a chance of staying up. But at the moment, they're struggling. I think Charlton at that price, 7-5 to go and win there, looks a good bet to me.
Charlton joined Southampton on the list for Dan Charles this weekend. Third and final pick, Dan.
Yeah, finish off with a League Two bet. Might seem a bit of a surprise. Doncaster draw no bet away to Crewe. Doncaster are in 18th place at the moment, Crewe in 5th. But if you look at the league table, I mean, Doncaster have not been higher than 17th because they got off to such a bad start. But if you underline, you look at their recent form, the last 10 games, they've actually won 6 of them. So they're a team. They're not actually a million miles away now from, they'll probably be eyeing up pushing in towards the top 7 and maybe having a shot at the playoffs, Doncaster. Grant McCann, he did do a lot of business in the summer, brought a lot of players in that were supposed to sort of like push them up to be a promotion chasing team after the poor season last season. Maybe it took a while for them to settle down. I know they had a lot of early season injuries as well. The injury situation has improved. I mentioned that the wins they've had in the league. They also went to Accrington in an FA Cup first round replay and won 2-1 away there. I mentioned that because Accrington are only 3 points below Crewe in League Two. So it's a very similar sort of type of task that they're facing this weekend. Crewe have done really, really well this season, but they've had a few injuries to key men recently. A couple of midfielders, Joel Tabula and Jack Powell, are out with injuries. Chris Long, their top scorer, he's injured as well. So I just think, although Crewe have done really, really well, 5th place at the moment and having a good season with those injuries and Doncaster improving the way they are, I think Doncaster draw no bet could be a little bit overpriced.
Southampton, Charlton, Doncaster draw no bet. Dan, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Right then, get the notepads out. Time to jot down Mark's best bets for this week. We shall start with a bet builder in the big match, Mark.
Yeah, Man City against Liverpool. I'm going to go for both teams to score in the first half. Hopefully, the players are not feeling dozy in the attacking sense for the early kickoff. But it has happened in 3 of the last 6 meetings between the two teams. So, you know, recent trends would suggest that aspect of the bet builder is a big price. I'm going to go for over 3.5 offsides. Reason being that both teams like to defend on the halfway line. Be a lot of space in behind, but a lot of pressure on the ball. And you know, the temptation to just make those early runs, I think, is pretty obvious. So I'm expecting a really end-to-end game, hopefully be a few offsides to cheer on. And then finally, I think he's been one of the players of the season so far. I'm going to go for Phil Foden to score. You know, he was somebody that was on the periphery of the kind of City side last season, but undroppable now for City, playing mainly off that right hand side. You know, a tremendous goal threat, somebody that as well, you know, Robertson been out for Liverpool, so there's potentially kind of an avenue there for City to exploit. And because Liverpool do attack in, with those wide players and are quite happy to gamble on sort of leaving free players up the pitch, I think that there is space usually in those one-on-one situations. So, you know, Foden's somebody that can take advantage of that.
He's been impressive, hasn't he?
Quick. His feet are just so quick.
Yeah, so good. You said cheering on offsides. Is that something you do regularly, is it, Mark? Cheering on an offside?
If it was that Liverpool one against Tottenham from earlier on the season, yeah, I'd give that a big cheer.
Let's move on to a treble for this weekend. Who are we going for?
Yeah, so both teams to score treble here. No surprises really that we start at the Etihad. City against Liverpool, I mean, the show sort of explained, you know, various points that, you know, these are two teams that just like to go at each other, and the recent trend is very much for goals at both ends in the game. Newcastle v Chelsea, both teams to score. Chelsea have found their mojo really from an attacking sense. Newcastle only failed to score once at home this season. I don't think they're the same team defensively, particularly without Botman. So his absence has been an issue for them. And then finally, at Goodison, Everton against Manchester United. I think the Everton fans are going to demand that Everton come forward and throw a few punches at Manchester United. Still not convinced about United as a kind of defensive unit. So they are vulnerable. But, you know, if you look at United when they played away to Copenhagen, for instance, played some good football in that game. And it was a 4-3 defeat, wasn't it, eventually? So, yeah, goal at both ends in that one as well.
OK, and we'll finish things off of the Bets Club this week with your strongest bet, the Knapp.
Yeah, goals at both ends at St James's Park. So Newcastle against Chelsea, both teams to score. Chelsea, 18 goals in their last six matches. Newcastle only failed to score at home in one match this season, and that was against Borussia Dortmund.
Sounds good. Mark, what's the rest of the week got in store for you?
So on Saturday, my sister's birthday, so I'm going out for that.
It seems like you've got a family birthday gathering every week.
Big family. Jack cost an absolute fortune. I was absolutely delighted that the Premier League switched those fixtures, so I'll be able to watch Man City against Liverpool in peace. Probably have to watch Brentford against Arsenal on one of the fellow family members' mobile phones while we're in the restaurant. Sunday, first time in a long while, I'm not going to Spurs this weekend. So just sit on the sofa and hopefully watch Tottenham beat Aston Villa. But confidence levels have dipped, I would say, in recent times due to injuries and suspension.
Yeah, oh, sounds joyous nonetheless. Mark, great stuff. Thanks, as always, to Mark and also Dan. If you're having a bet this weekend, please remember to do so responsibly. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. As Mark mentioned, it's a hectic schedule now for the football. So we will be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.